Chapter 25. Black Patch. As he walked quietly from the terrace into the half-darkness of the still-shuttered dining-room, he was surprised to see Vespa emerge from the glass-fronted telephone booth near the front door and softly turn up the stairs towards their rooms. "Vespa," he called, thinking she must have had some urgent message which might concern them both. She turned quickly, a hand up to her mouth. For a moment longer than necessary she stared at him, her eyes wide. "What is it, darling?" he asked, vaguely troubled and fearing some crisis in their lives. "Oh," she said breathlessly, "you made me jump. It was only... I was just telephoning to Mathis. To Mathis," she repeated. "I wondered if he could get me another frock. You know, from that girlfriend I told you about, the Von Durs. You see," she talked quickly, her words coming out in a persuasive jumble, "I've really got nothing to wear. I thought I'd catch him at home before he went to the office. I don't know my friend's telephone number, and I thought it would be a surprise for you. I didn't want you to hear me moving and wake you up. Is the water nice? Have you bathed? You ought to have waited for me."
"It's wonderful," said Bond, deciding to relieve her mind, though irritated with her obvious guilt over this childish mystery. "You must go in, and we'll have breakfast on the terrace. I'm ravenous. I'm sorry I made you jump. I was just startled to see anyone about at this hour of the morning."
He put his arm round her, but she disengaged herself and moved quickly on up the stairs. "It was such a surprise to see you," she said, trying to cover the incident up with a light touch. "You looked like a ghost, a drowned man, with the hair down over your eyes like that." She laughed harshly. Hearing the harshness, she turned the laugh into a cough. "I hope I haven't caught cold," she said. She kept on patching up the edifice of her deceit until Bond wanted to spank her and tell her to relax and tell the truth. Instead, he just gave her a reassuring pat on the back outside her room and told her to hurry up and have her bathe. Then he went on to his room. That was the end of the integrity of their love. The succeeding days were a shambles of falseness and hypocrisy, mingled with her tears and moments of animal passion to which she abandoned herself with a greed made indecent by the hollowness of their days. Several times Bond tried to break down the dreadful walls of mistrust. Again and again he brought up the subject of the telephone call, but she obstinately bolstered up her story with embellishments which Bond knew she had thought out afterwards. She even accused Bond of thinking she had another lover. These scenes always ended in her bitter tears, and in moments almost of hysteria. Each day the atmosphere became more hateful. It seemed fantastic to Bond that human relationships could collapse into dust overnight, and he searched his mind again and again for a reason.